The healthcare detective Frank Lally has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare. Called Your Best Healthcare Now, it is available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lally is also the health correspondent for Parade and the former editor of Money and George magazines and the senior advisor to healthcare.com and. Hi, Frank.
Hi, how are you? I've got some news. And in fact, this is another Robin Hood radio exclusive. You haven't heard this from anywhere, from anybody, anywhere. 10 of the 90 people who falsely tested positive for COVID-19 in Connecticut, they're all senior living residents or workers, have actively caught the virus. 10 of the 90 have now caught the virus. Some, if not most of them, were isolated in COVID-19 wards, and it's a great place to catch the highly contagious and deadly virus. 3 of the 10, they're all nursing home residents, appear to have recovered, and that's really good news. Thank goodness for that. But I wish I could tell you more about the other 7. You know, more than 3 weeks after the state lab discovered the false positives, and believe me, it was just by chance, the Department of Public Health isn't reporting on the 7. They're not even telling me the breakdown of the number of residents and the number of workers, let alone the really big questions. How many of the 7 were housed and or worked in COVID-only wards, like the other 3 I mentioned, and who got the virus but then recovered? How many of these 7 actually got the virus? Were they hospitalized? How many recovered? And the biggest question of all, have any been placed in hospice or have any died? Geez, we really hope not. A couple of weeks ago, I reported on another victim of the false positives. That's a guy named Joe Spinella of Thomaston. And his story, it's worth recapping because it sets the stage for this false positive fiasco. Joe and his loving wife, Rita, and their family lived a nightmare that unfortunately these other 10 families are still going through now. Joe, he's a retired hairdresser. He's 83 years old. His legs have been giving him some problems. So Rita, his wife of 60 years, brought him over to St. Mary's Hospital nearby. And the doctors there checked out Joe very carefully. And they say, hey, you know, Joe, look, I really think you need intensive physical therapy. I think it'll really benefit you. So, you know, let's get you into a rehab center and get some work done on your legs. It'll help. So Joe is admitted at Glendale Center for some short-term therapy, very routine. That was June 29th. 4 days later, on July 3rd, Joe was positive for COVID-19. Now, Joe had tested negative at St. Mary's, but at Glendale, there's a retest of all new residents. Glendale immediately transferred Joe to a nursing home COVID-only ward that was out at Quinnipiac Valley Center in Wallingford. And that's where Joe stayed, isolated from his family for over 14 days. Now, Rita, she told me, look, I protested at Glendale and at Quinnipiac. I said, this made no sense to me. Joe just tested negative at the hospital. How could he be positive now? But the staffers at both of those facilities said they were just, look, we're following the rules. Glendale tests all new residents, and all positives are immediately sent to COVID-only wards. And Quinnipiac does not retest new positives. It quarantines them in COVID-only wards for 14 days or more and doesn't retest them until the quarantine is over. So Rita told me, look, we couldn't even see Joe and wave to him. He was just, we couldn't visit him, we couldn't see him, and that went on for 2 weeks. Then finally, Rita got word through Quinnipiac that, oops, Joe's test was wrong. It was a false positive. Joe never had COVID, and he's negative now. Okay, so that left the family relieved. Obviously, Joe doesn't have COVID. That's great. But they were also angry about their ordeal that could have been avoided in the first place if Quinnipiac had tested Joe when they admitted him. So, Jill, that's the question for today, actually. I mean, should nursing homes and Connecticut's Department of Public Health change their protocol and mandate retesting of all new positive residents, especially people like Joe, who recently tested negative and then they test positive. Shouldn't they retest those? So, Jill, what do you think about the Department of Public Health actively discouraging nursing home testing?
I don't understand. I don't understand, given this is what the little known the dirty secret of testing. They're not all accurate. So, no, I'm serious. So, you know, everybody's getting unhinged about numbers this and numbers that. And we can't do anything. And the thing that happened in California last week was just a travesty, because, you know, as you know from your former life as editor of Money and George magazines, where money and politics intersect, that if you don't have good numbers, you kind of have you got a great narrative, but you don't have any solid information. So I just can't even fathom. You have a test. The person who's just tested negative tests positive. Let's wait 3 weeks. Yeah. And meanwhile, I can't.
Yeah, I can't either. And they actually argue that they discourage the retesting because the results can be iffy. Okay, well,
no kidding.
I mean, it's just the opposite. If the tests are iffy, retest. Okay, and nursing homes should also retest for this reason. They're going to stop skeptics like me from noting that nursing homes benefit from putting residents into quarantine for 14 days. They collect an extra $620 a day for each COVID patient. Does that come into their minds when put these people into quarantine?
I'm sorry that I shouldn't say that.
You know what? Let's find out. And here's some real news, some more news. The hardworking state senator Joan Hartley of Waterbury, she told me yesterday that retesting should be quote unquote absolute standard for the vulnerable people in senior living facilities. She said she had been talking to the Department of Public Health about Joe Spinella's case and about false positives in general. Yet she was surprised to learn from me that the Department of Public Health has been discouraging retesting. That's the problem. And it made no sense to her. She added that the Department of Public Health is investigating the false positives, that's doing that internally, and she's hoping they get to the bottom of the problem and fix it, starting with more senior living retesting. So meantime, Jill, I'm going to continue to ask my questions to the Department of Health and other lawmakers until I get solid answers. I mean, for openers, can you think of any reason why the Department of Public Health still doesn't have the full facts about the 10 that I mentioned at the beginning of the program? These 10 who actually tested positive after getting false positives, put in these COVID only wards or working in these wards, and then they catch the virus they wouldn't have caught if there hadn't been this false positive and if there was more retesting. So it's been 3 weeks since the state lab discovered the false positives by chance. Shouldn't the Department of Public Health be telling the public all it knows by now? What do you think of that, Jill?
Is this a rhetorical question?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I ask it out of frustration.
I understand.
3 weeks and they're not getting back to me. I mean, last week they dumped some answers at midnight on Thursday. This week they didn't even do that. I don't get it.
I've always said, in an attempt to be diplomatic, you know, there are problems and there are problems. If something that really seems like, you know, if you were running your own household, it'd be sorted out in a second, doesn't get solved, usually it's because someone would just as soon not solve it.
Yeah.
That's what I've always said.
Well, don't want to answer. I mean, so let's keep asking the questions. Mm-hmm. I mean, this 90 false positives came from one firm. It's Thermo Fisher Scientific. It's a multi-billion-dollar corporation, so it's apparently the standard of retesting, among other things.
And can I just ask
let me just finish this one point.
All right.
They got a corner-cutting waiver from the Trump administration's FDA, Federal Drug Administration. They got this waiver. So has the Department of Public Health determined whether the waiver from the FDA contributed in any way to its 90 false positives? But here's all they get from the Department of Public Health, quote unquote. The Department of Public Health has not made that determination. Well, guess what? Make it.
But what I'm trying to find out is...
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, I'm sorry to interrupt, but what I'm trying to find out is exactly about this, because last week when you were talking about this, you said something about batch testing, and I'm trying to understand concisely what batch testing is, because I think in there you will find your corner cutting or not, but
this is what they're doing. So we know all now know that you do a test and now you've got to wait 5 to 14 days in cases to get the results, and it makes it impossible to track and trace. So it's really useless unless we get a faster turnaround. So here's what they're trying to do. Instead of testing one by one, they're thinking if they can take a 10 at a time and test all 10 at once, then if they get all negatives, fine, no problem. If they get a positive, then they would go back and test all 9 individually. So that's all the state lab is trying to do. They needed positives to test whether this batch idea really made sense. And when they took a batch of this Thermo Fisher Scientific, out of the 144 that they were testing, they found 90 false positives. Now, when I tell this to doctors, they gasp, 90 at 144. And it raises the question, now is Department of Public Health looking at all of Thermo Fisher Scientific's results to make sure there isn't more out there than just the 10 that they've told me about? And also, let's ask this. Has the state cut corners for Thermo? And Department of Public Health says they're not aware of any such waiver. Well, get aware and get a concrete answer here. Then next, I don't have any reason to believe that Connecticut's chief operating officer, a guy named Josh Cabal, is less than an honorable guy. Still, as Connecticut COO and a former Thermo vice president, did he recuse himself from deliberations about the Thermo contract? You know, I've gotten silence on that point. And I think if he had recused himself, if public health would tell me that. What the department tells me, they say that, well, he has not been involved, quote unquote, in the false positive investigation, not involved, whatever that means, and that he will recuse himself from any inquiry from the House Public Health Committee if indeed they go ahead with anything. And so he'll recuse himself from that if and when that happens. So this week, Jill, I filed a Freedom of Information request for all communication by Cabal and his staff involving the Thermo contract. So we've got to be patient here on Freedom of Information requests. But sooner or later, we should get some answers, and that's going to be another good exclusive, I guarantee you that. So next, does Department of Public Health have any comment on Quinnipiac keeping Joe Spinella for 3 days after Quinnipiac learned that he was a false positive? Department of Public Health says, we're looking into this. Yeah, I sure hope they're looking into it, and I hope they get some answers. And finally, does the Lamont administration think it owes any of the 90 false positives a personal apology? I do. I believe the governor should pick up the phone today and call Joe and Rita. He'll find them home. Joe's doing his rehab in the mornings. He's stronger. He can stand up now at the kitchen sink because he's got upper body strength, and he's getting better. And the couple is attending TV mass, praying to turn the page on this ordeal as they await the birth of their first great-grandchild. That's going to be a best event, and we're so happy for Joe and Rita to be best and to be waiting for the birth of this great grandchild of theirs. So, Governor, if you're listening, and I know you do, call me. I've got Joe and Rita's telephone number. Happy to share it with you. I've got their email. Call them today. That's my hope for today, Jill, that the governor picks up the phone and talks to Joe and Rita.
Thank you, Frank, the healthcare detective and senior advisor to healthcare.com. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable healthcare to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. Also, look for his book, Your Best Healthcare Now, available in-store, online, and, of course, on my desk.